Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica. Just a quick heads up that this is not like our previous episodes. This is a horror/splatterpunk book with romantic undertones, questionable romantic undertones. So feel free, if you're not prepared, you can go listen to any of our other episodes, but this one is very, very different from anything we've ever covered.
Yeah, please listen to that.
Heed the warning.
This book has extremely heavy triggers for graphic violence, sexual cannibalism, flashbacks of child abuse, sexual assault, and rape.
I have a Spotify comment, and this one comes from Nora, and it says, "Can we please have more smutty books? I want to be disgusted and lustful." Nora, girl, hope you're here, baby. This is your episode.
We got you.
You're going to be disgusted for sure. Lustful, maybe, if this maybe. Is your thing.
If you're a little freak.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Morsel by Audrey Rush. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 1. I know it's not my thing now that I've read something like this. I will say, though, the one thing that I was like, oh, okay, was the plot twist. I was not expecting the plot twist.
Yeah.
So that was a nice surprise. But other than that, I can 100% with confidence say this is not going to make me hella soaked.
No. I'm scared.
I gave it a 4-star.
Wow.
And I feel like we have to circle back around as to why, because the reasons why do contain spoilers. But bottom line, this was quite literally the most wildest, crazy book I've ever read in my entire life. But I also couldn't put it down. But honestly, there were reasons why I really did like it, and I was gagged.
I gagged too. I didn't feel like it was fair for me to rate this book because I'm not into splatterpunk. It's just not my thing. But I know it is other people's thing. And if it's your thing, you'll probably love this book. Not my jam. It was really well written. It was very entertaining. And I will say I was thinking like 3.5 stars until like the last 25% of the book. The first chunk of the book, I was like, this story, insane. I love it. The last chunk, I was like, oh my fucking God.
Oh, God.
So I didn't enjoy it, but I understand how other people would.
Okay. So the story opens up with our MMC at a butcher shop. He's watching the butcher slam the cleaver into the meat and is fantasizing instead of a portion of the meat being cut off, it's a woman's head.
Oh.
Yeah. We're just easing into it.
Okay.
Yeah. He's imagining running his fingers through her hair as he picks up the decapitated piece.
Riley's face. This is just the beginning, Riley. Yeah.
This is nothing.
The steak he picks is organic, free-range, grass-fed steak. Sometimes when he requests girls from escort services, he'll even ask for vegetarians, not because he plans to eat them, but in his head, if they eat the same, they must taste better too. He leaves and goes around back to the butcher's garage bins and does some cutesy dumpster diving. He scores jackpot on a rotten beef tongue to bring home and then goes to the other bin. His hand freezes. He can't believe what he's looking at.
A beef heart, the far tinted bluish green. Warnings ring in my ears, but I'm alone, and I want this. I pry a ventricle open wide enough for my dick. What? What?
Yeah.
Then I unzip and unbuckled my pants and slid my cock inside. It doesn't fit right, but that's why I like it. The muscle squeezes the head of my dick, forcing pleasure up my spine. I close my eyes and let the ambient temperature flesh soothe me. A woman's heart, carved from her chest, would feel like this. A final fuck before eating her most vital organ. Sir?
Sir.
You need to be locked away. You need help.
He gets back to a secluded off-the-grid home that has a platform for his industrial meat grinder and even has a large offal pit to store his meat in. So this big-ass trench holds rotting salted meat, and in his free time, he'll take some of the meat and grind it down and then freeze it and fuck it or eat it.
Waste not, want not. Yep.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Don't grab that meat. That's the one I fuck. Don't grab that one.
That's my fuck meat.
Rotting meat, salted or not, feels better than a silicone sleeve.
Have you ever tried a silicone sleeve?
Clearly, Riley. That's why he prefers the rotting meat.
Give it another try. Keep trying.
He's pounding his meat, no pun intended, when his escort shows up to his house. He ordered her because tomorrow he meets his dream girl, Mona, and he has to release a load before seeing her. The escort is laying on the dining room table under his instructions, and he slabs the piece of raw meat that he got from the butcher shop on her stomach and starts cutting through the meat until he hits her skin. And this is consensual knife play, by the way. It's one of his terms when he's hiring her.
She's probably like, ah, yeah, at least I'm getting paid.
She's talking to him and she's like, oh yeah, baby, eat me. And he's like, meat doesn't talk. Shut your mouth. He was like, no, this is not working. He just gives her the money that she's owed. And she's like, what the fuck? You actually wanted me to act like I was dead? It would be cheaper if you just fucked a piece of raw meat. And then he was like, sounds like a date to me, girl.
He's like, little do you know, I fuck my meat already, so.
But he was hella upset because no one understands him.
Yeah, nobody should. Nobody should.
We find out that our MMC has a fascination of eating women ever since he was a teenager. And he's not gonna do it. He's just thinking about it. He decides since the escort didn't work out and he can't get off right now, he's gonna drive an hour to Mona's house. Mona Milk is an artist. Our MMC found her by finding her personal ad on a local faceless nudie website with the caption, I'm tired of not having my needs met and I want a man to eat me like a piece of meat. Serious inquiries only.
In the first picture, she's on her knees, her legs spread wide, her face shadowed inside of a large dog kennel, with chains wrapped around her shoulders and wrists. In another picture, her back is to the camera lens and a metal collar is attached to a bulky chain leash. A distinct tattoo stays visible on her neck, charcoal-like strokes of a snake eating its own tail.
He did a little reverse image FBI stalking and found out she's a quite famous art icon. He found her address easily, and then he responded to her ad.
All men can eat pussy, but I want to eat your flesh.
She said, bet, baby, let's go on a date.
She said, eat me, cut my foot off.
So he decided since he couldn't sleep, he would go to Mona's house. He's sitting in her backyard watching her, and she's getting plowed from behind up against her window, and he decides it's time for a little snack. He pulls out the small plastic bag from his pocket that holds the tampon he took from her bathroom trash last week.
What? I stuffed the whole thing in my mouth. My appetizer, groaning as the cold metallic blood squishes over my tongue. I pretend it's a blood popsicle. Between my gnawing teeth and my fierce suckling, soon my mouth is coated in her delicious essence.
Just a little tampon?
Oh, yeah.
Pops it right in.
It's the next day, and it's time for his date with Mona. He's meeting her at her art gallery. Her art is just as dark as he is. Dismembered mannequin body parts covered in fake blood, dark, gory scenes, etc. He makes his way to their meeting point, the bathroom. It says occupied, but he barges in there anyways, not wanting to screw up meeting his dream girl. He gets in the huge-ass restroom, and there she is, in a massive clawfoot tub, taking a bath. Which is very weird.
Just at her art gallery?
Yeah, just taking a bath.
She said, hey.
Just in the middle of her work day.
And it's only, I believe there's only one bathroom too. So she's just like, yeah, sucks to be you if you have to pee.
Her small breasts rise into the cool air, the fatty tissue pulling at the ends in teardrops. Her pert nipples pucker, and fuck me, my dick stretches in my pants, ready to suck and bite those pink knobs off until she's a bleeding faucet.
Oh my God!
Started so normal, and then boom! He said, I want to bite your tits off.
After he passes a serious inquiries only test, she says, if you want to devour me, then eat me, drink me, bite me. So he climbs into the tub with her and does just that.
I bite her until I hear her skin crunch and pop, harder than I've ever bitten someone before. And she moans with delight. Drink every drop, she whispers, her voice raspy with desire. They're a match made in heaven.
She gives him an underwater handy and he comes.
She scoops up my whiny, watery cum. And her plump tongue writhes heads over her palm. Her eyes are animated, watching me watch her, as if to make sure I know she's eating a part of me too. My whiny, watery cum.
Then she brushed him off, and she's like, there's towels under the sink, and got herself dried off and left. He's irritated, sad, and mad that his dream girl just thinks this is all a game. He thought that they were gonna, like, meet and fall in love together forever after, like, breathing the same air once.
No, sir.
His thoughts are completely unhinged right now, but he manages to collect himself and fights his social anxiety to see her show. A man who looks familiar comes up and tries psychoanalyzing the art with him until a woman comes up and mentions how it's a shame what these women have gone through. That piques his attention a little bit, but he shrugs it off, and as they leave, his eyes find Mona. He nods his head, motioning for her to come over to him, and to his delight, she does. RMMC is sexy, so now I'm picturing Armie Hammer.
Yeah.
He cuts right to the chase and tells her he wants to see her again and asks where to find her.
She smirks, and that sly expression guts me, like I'm the pig and she's the butcher in charge of my carcass. I want to smash into her body, my dick like a knife, killing her and fucking her at the same time. No, I want to fuck her vagina with a knife until it's pulp, then eat it like it's bolognese. That is foul.
She tells him to meet her at her office tomorrow. She teaches at the university. He tries playing coy and asks her where her office is, but he already knows because he, like, stalks her. And he's been attending her lecture, even though he doesn't go to that university.
Well, he's a little creep.
It's the next day, and he meets Mona in her office, and we finally find out RMMC's name is Kent. And Mona cuts straight to the chase by asking him if his mommy issues caused his interest or if he's a predator. He tells her if it wasn't his mother, it's always been about eating beautiful women, women like her. She tells him he's perfect and he doesn't even know it, and then invites him to a private screening. She hands him this huge stack of papers, and he finds out that it's an NDA, and she's also producing her own film. So the NDA is for her film and also to protect her image. He takes the papers for review, and she tells him that the film screening is at 5 tonight, and that's how long this offer stands for. He has work at the chicken processing plant, and she tells him if he doesn't show up at 5, she will move on to another subject, but she'll be waiting for him, and then kicks him out. Kent is at work getting a lecture from his boss that taking unused meat and parts from the chickens is still stealing, and if they're caught, then that person will be fired. He's looking through the contract, but still has an hour left until he has to leave to make it to Mona. During the lecture, his eyes snag on some of the words in the NDA, and basically, he'll be part of her next project, a film on cannibalism, and he has a lot of mixed feelings on this. Jerry, who's Kent's coworker, got his finger chopped off last year when Kent scared him while he was tucking away chicken breasts that he was trying to steal. And Jerry was in the meeting too. They were never able to find Jerry's finger, and that's because Kent stole it and then ran to the bathroom and ate it.
Kent! He just wanted to know.
Yeah, you gotta make sure.
He's like, ew, boy meat's gross.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't like it.
He doesn't like boy meat.
How does he know he likes women meat, though?
You'll see.
Okay.
He knows. As the supervisor's still going on about rules and stealing, Ken is telling Jerry about Mona and how she wants him to sign an NDA. Jerry's like, hell yeah, brother. She must be a kinky bitch. Do it. So Ken's like, you know what? Hell yeah. I don't even have to read this contract. I'm just going to sign it and meet her. So that's what he does.
That's not something you should do. But I guess you shouldn't eat people either. So.
True. When they get to the private screening, it's literally just them. And the film starts and Mona demands that he watches as she gets on her knees and starts enforcing the Gluck Gluck 3000. The film starts by people walking in a straight line, with a woman hog-tied upside down carried on a long pole, and then every 3 seconds it flashes to quick videos of cannibalism, and it's like pieces of her flesh being served, so like a whole titty is like on a platter.
Oh my god. And she's just sucking his dick.
And he's loving it.
Kent is horny as fuck. And he's like pretending now that it's Mona in like the movie's place. So like Mona's being served to him basically. Mm-hmm. The video changes to another disturbing video where Kent knows there's no way a human would be able to survive. And that's when he realized that it's special effects that Mona's made.
You made this? She jerks me off with her hands. It looks real, doesn't it? She says. We can make it look more real. Can't we, love? She swallows me again, and I groan until the vibrations rumble in my toes. My dick is so hard. It's painful, and I'm trying hard not to blow my load right now. Her nails dig into my thighs, and her words repeat in my mind, fragments that burrow into my primal drives. We can make it real. Eat me. Eat me until there's nothing left. My cum blasts her throat.
What is gonna happen? I am curious. Sucking me in.
It'll get ya.
It will. The movie is over and she tells Kent to walk her to her car and he obeys. This whole time she's had the reins on their situationship, which makes Kent feel very weird. weird because he's usually the very dominant one, but he's being very submissive and compliant because she's like one in a million to him.
Yeah. How are you going to find another one like this?
Yeah, that's true. When she gets to her car, he doesn't want to let her go. He asks if he could see her again, and she agreed. She told him to send his address to her email and she will pick him up. He tries telling her he lives an hour away, but she's not taking no for an answer. And once again, Kent watches her leave, feeling not in control of the situation. It's a few days later and Mona just pulled up to pick Kent up. She opens the door for her Pookie and they drive to a steakhouse.
Oh, chivalry is not dead.
Well, she drove, so it's a little dead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, never mind.
Then what's the opposite of chivalry? Chivalry.
Chivalry.
Nice.
Kent orders a filet mignon, rare, and he suspects she's a vegetarian, and she's like, oh no, baby, I'll have what you're having.
I'll have the steak smothered in onions.
We find out during dinner she's doing this project on cannibalism because it's the ultimate consumption objectifying humans. He says it's different, though. He thinks it can also be about the ultimate form of love, sexual exploration, and trust, even providing for someone, because he's delusional. He's like, yeah. What if you love them so much you eat them? And she's like, oh.
Right.
She straight up calls bullshit on his survival cannibalism ideals, and she's like, it's all primal, you take. And then point blank asks him if he's ever raped someone before. He's like, no. And she's like, oh, of course you're not a rapist, but have you ever fantasized about rape? Because I have. He's like, yeah, I guess. Control's appealing. And she's like, yeah, exactly, you get me. And he's like, literally like, I'm in love. They get their food, and Kent makes a nice, neat slice, and he's like, really excited to show her his knife skills. This is like a really big deal for him. And Mona picks up the steak with her bare hands with the blood dripping down her arms and seductively wiggles into her seat and starts eating her steak with her hands.
Everyone else in the restaurant is like, what
the
fuck?
Yeah, they're all like staring at her like, what the fuck?
She's different.
She is.
My dick presses against my metal zipper. There's an animalistic nature to Mona, a quality I want to hold on to. And the back of my neck tingles with warning and thrill. She's doing this for me, isn't she? She's putting on another show to turn me on.
Kent was hot and bothered until she finished her steak and he realized she stole his thunder. He was supposed to show her how well he could cut into a steak. And now his steak is cold and he lost his appetite. And his boner.
Ugh.
Oh, Mona. Man.
Mona.
Dang it.
Mona's teasing was relentless, though, and soon enough, Kent got horny again. They go back to his house, and when she's inside, she's recording and taking pictures all over his house. So because he's part of her cannibalism project, she's free to record every single thing. So she's snapping pictures, recording everything.
Which he is pissed about, but if he read the NDA, he would know it's allowed.
He's like, would you like to see the meat I fuck?
She'd probably be like, yeah, show me.
She's kind of seducing him while asking him questions about cannibalism, and part of him is untrusting while the other part is telling him that she's the same and she just wants to get to know him. She climbs onto his countertop and bares herself to him, then tells him to fuck her, just like she's his meat, and asks what he would do to her.
I'd chain you to a bed, I say in a low voice. I squeeze her wrists until her skin thins and the coarse texture of her bone rubs against my fingertips. Then I bite her wrists. Her veins slide under my teeth and she yelps, then pulls my head closer to her, desperate for more. I'll feed you only vegetables and fruits and leaves, I continue. I'll make sure you never move, so your meat will stay tender. You want your meat to melt in my mouth, don't you? Uh-huh, she purrs.
Leaves. I'll feed you leaves.
Leaves.
Yum.
I will forage for you.
She's taking pictures of him and he's describing in detail on how and what parts of her he would eat while biting those places in real time.
You'd do that to me? Of course I will, I murmur. I bend down to her thighs and bite again. I'll do everything I can to savor your meat. Harder, she rasps. Bite me harder, Kent.
He bites her until he pierces her skin and tastes blood, and she looks like she's about to cry, and he starts pushing off her, and then the camera goes off and she smiles, urging him on again. He's ravishing her once more until she's begging for him.
She thrusts her pussy, practically bucking into my face. I growl, then push her hips until she's laying flat, ready to be sliced open. I lick her slit. Her liquid need drips down her crevices, filled with sweetness and salt, and I grab my dick through my pants. I bite her beady clit. Her hood sliding from the pressure of my teeth, each movement tenderizing that bundle of nerves. Then I trace my finger down her cunt. I pinch her folds. I'd slice off these pretty little lips. I'd eat them first. Do it, she whines. I need to come. With two fingers massaging her meat sleeve. Ew. I swirl my tongue around her swollen clit, puffy from arousal, or me, or both, and she tastes so good.
I'm just picturing him, like, cutting off her little lips and just eating them.
Yeah, that's what he wants to do. And she says, yeah, do it.
She said, do it, you won't.
Mona gets up to grab a knife from the drawer, and she cuts under his bite mark on the inside of her thigh and tells him to kneel before her and drink her blood. As much as he wants to, this is now becoming very, very real to him. And when he voices his concern to her, she just tells him she wants to do this, and is he really going to deny her? So he drops down and starts sucking her blood. She tells him to chew the skin off and eat her, and he's like, ho, what? I just wanted a little sip.
He's like, wait, I'm scared.
Yeah, and he gets up and runs out of the house. But she's like, do it. Eat my flesh. Tear me apart. And he's like, I just wanted a sip. You're scaring me.
I gotta go.
He says, baby steps. Whoa. I'll take a nibble next time.
He's outside and struck with flashbacks from his childhood of his mother's boyfriend punching him while camping and then having sex with her very roughly in front of him. He's got a fucked up childhood.
Oh my God.
Mona interrupts his thoughts and they both apologize. She asks if he'd be willing to teach her friend the introductions into cannibalism and show him how he worships her body. And although he's very hesitant, she's like, you do that for me, right, Kent? And he's like, anything for you, Pookie. 2 weeks later, he meets Mona at her house. Kent has been going crazy. He's missed her so much that he's rationed out the last tampon that he saved and was cutting it into thin slices and, like, eating it with crackers.
Excuse me?
Crackers?
I'm speechless.
Like a little charcuterie board.
Precisely.
He pulls up to Mona's house, and the man from the art gallery that was psychoanalyzing Mona's work answers the door shirtless. There's definitely tension between this guy, his name is Artie, and Kent. And Kent wants to legit kill Artie, but they all end up naked in the hot tub together. Artie suggests a threesome, and he's just not about it. Mona tells Kent he makes her feel alive, and Artie doesn't, and she needs him. So she's just, like, egging him on once again to just do what she wants. They do a little Eiffel Tower action, but Kent knows his girl, and she looks at him, and he can see that this is just not doing it for her. He leaves and goes around to search the house for inspiration. When he sees writing on her desk that catches his eye, it says, Desiree Duncan, desire the survivor, desire the non-victim, face her fears. And he's like, what the fuck? It kind of, like, was catchy, but he was like, I don't, whatever. And then continues on his way. He grabs an apple from the kitchen counter and some rope from his bag and returns back to them. He throws the rope at Artie, telling him to tie her up. And when she goes to speak, he shoves the apple in her mouth and tells her again that meat doesn't speak. Kent had to retie her into a tight hog tie, and he finally has Mona how he wants her. He sees the camera flash go off, and it's Artie taking pictures of him, but he doesn't mind. Having Artie there is definitely killing his vibe, and he can't get his dick hard again until he pictures cutting Mona up and drinking her blood and pussy, and finally he's able to come.
When they're finished, Mona hobbles out of the room with Artie following to tuck her into bed. Kent sees the apple left on the floor and internally rages about wasted food, so he picks it up and eats it. When Artie comes back into the room, Kent accuses him of not actually being into sexual cannibalism, and Artie's like, well, I'd do anything Mona wanted me to, and Kent is like, you're a weak man. Artie starts rambling on and on about how being submissive is actually super powerful and blah, 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 but Kent is zoning out thinking about his mother and how good her tongue tasted and how he bets Mona's is even better.
No.
Finally, Artie's like, okay, I better head out, take good care of her kid, and then slaps Kent on the shoulder, and Kent is like, yeah, fuck this guy. What do you think? Are you team Artie or team Kent?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't want to say either.
A few weeks go by and there are no more encounters between Kent and Mona aside from him sitting in on her lectures every week. But one day he gets a text from her telling him she has a surprise for him and asks if she can come over. He tells her he's at work, but she's like, so call out. He decides he wants to take back the power, so he just writes back, can't. Because he's so far said yes to every single thing she's asked him to do. So finally he's like, no, sorry. He's in the break room at work when Jerry comes in bragging about his recent sexcapades.
This bitch's pussy was unreal, Jerry says. I ate her like a tuna sundae. Tuna sundae? Some new guy with a shaved head asks. The fuck does that even mean? Pussy is tuna, right? Jerry explains. But add ice cream cum and shit. That is foul. You ate her cum and her shit? Jerry rolls his eyes. Come on, man. You know what I mean. I didn't eat her shit. I just know she tasted good. My dick pumps with blood. My erection growing to half mast at his words. Why? It's been too long since I tasted Mona's skin. How good, I ask. Like a creamy little fish sandwich. Jerry says, she came like a waterfall too. I showed that pussy who owns it. I hate men.
I'm sorry, but she might have BV. Like, she should probably get that checked.
She needs to go to her gyno. That's what she needs to do.
Jerry and the new guy start talking about how they like to do it rough with women, like tying them up and stuff. And they try to ask Kent what he's into, and he starts getting annoyed by them. He looks across the room and sees one of his coworkers secretly recording him on her phone, and he's like, are you fucking recording me? She panics and is like, I'll delete it, but he grabs her phone and smashes it. He can see the fear on her face, and it makes him fully hard.
He said, Hulk smash.
Oh. He said, a scared woman.
He storms out and grabs a rogue chicken breast, stuffing it into his pocket, and brings it into a storage room.
He says, oh my God, I gotta let my anger out. The need pulsates inside of me, and until I get rid of it, I won't be able to think straight. I unbutton my jumper uniform, pull out my dick, then wrap the lukewarm meat around my cock. I groan. The slick juice is coating me, and pleasure shoots through my spine. It's like fucking a woman's gaping wound.
I don't even like touching raw chicken with my hands.
Yeah, right.
I can't imagine having a dick and putting it on my dick.
Also, how does he not get infections?
I know.
Yeah.
There's rotting meat going inside his urethra.
I don't know. He's formed an immunity, maybe.
Yeah, his body's like, ah, this ain't nothing.
He thinks about the woman's fear and the way he wants to eat Mona, and he comes into the chicken breast, and it's the best orgasm he's had from masturbating in a long time.
What does he do with that chicken after?
Just throws it away, maybe. I don't know.
He puts it back on the conveyor belt and lets it go to somebody's house.
Yeah, it gets packaged and sold.
The butterball turkey.
Oh. Yeah, didn't they fuck those turkeys?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Don't ever say that. It's gonna be a new fear.
It's a thing.
That's a thing that happened.
Wait, that is a thing that happened?
Yeah. Their employees got in trouble for fucking the turkeys.
Oh my God.
He stops to think and wonders if Mona sent that woman to record him, because there was that woman recording him in the break room, and he doesn't like know her. Like, she was in the employee break room, but he's like, I've never seen her before. What's she recording me for?
That's weird.
He heads back into the break room and is like, fuck it, I'm calling out. I'm starving. And Jerry's like, fuck yeah, go get that pussy, make it cream.
Ew, Jerry.
He goes to text Mona as he leaves work, but when he gets to his house, her SUV is already there. The power is shut off, and she's standing out by the offal pit, holding a rotten pig's heart covered in maggots. They head inside, and she starts talking about how beautiful this land is and how he could run a human meat farm one day. But he's like, did you send someone to record me today?
He's like, yeah, yeah, about that. Meat farm later.
Yeah, we'll discuss this later. I'm very interested, though. She says no, she didn't, and then asks if she can take the framed picture of his mother with her. So he has a framed picture of a woman, and it's Mona. Not even his mom. It's just a picture of a random woman, and she's like, is that your mom? Can I take the picture with me?
What a weird thing to ask for.
And then he's like, do you think other animals eat their mothers for survival? And she's like, yeah, that's basically what breastfeeding is. He sees she already has a camera set up to record whatever she has planned. She shows him a bucket she brought, and it's full with pig's blood, and she dips her whole hand in, coating it. She strips both of their clothing off and has him lay on the floor.
She slides down on my cock and impales herself on me. Her needy slit slick with arousal. Her cunt crushes me like a vice. I want more than pig's blood, but I can control myself. Control yourself. Control your... We could take off my toes, she says, her voice raspy with lust. One by one, I involuntarily thrust my hips, pummeling her meat hole. I know the answer. I just want to hear her say it. Cut off your toes for what? A toe here, a toe there. It's not much, but it's something. A little snack. And how do you say this again? Hors d'oeuvres?
Hors d'oeuvres.
Oh.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Keep it in the episode.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Stupid.
Hors d'oeuvres.
An hors d'oeuvre. A mere little morsel. Ha! She grabs my hair like reins, then throws her head back. What if you called me your little morsel? That would be a cute pet name for me, wouldn't it, love?
Yeah, it would.
Cute. He feels his mind going a mile a minute, and he knows this is going too far, so he panics and is like, this is too dangerous. And she freezes and is like, you're just like Artemis, and tells him her meat, her choice. And Artemis is Artie.
He's like, no. Then she grabs the bucket and dumps the entire thing all over them, telling him to stop thinking and just fuck her. He tries but realizes Mona has all the power in this relationship, and his dick instantly goes soft inside of her. The next week passes and Mona constantly texts Kent asking if he'll come fuck her, but he doesn't. Until one day she's like, I'm on my period and it's heavy.
She says, it's clotty. Come over.
It's day two, baby.
My lips part. Tension curls around my groin, tingling over my veiny shaft and numbing me all the way to the inner tissue. Period blood. A period is monthly. If I eat her menstrual blood, I'm not causing any harm. I've done it before. This time will be better, though. Wet, hot, viscous, and straight from the source.
Yucky.
Whose other period blood have you had?
Hers. I mean, he ate her tampon.
Oh, that's right. Duh.
He shows up an hour later, and she's dressed in lingerie, which he hates, but it's Mona, so he'll let it slide. He hates, women trying to be sexy. He likes women that are naked, not wearing perfume, not wearing makeup.
Oh, natural.
Yeah, like me. They head inside and she sits on the counter, spreading her legs for him.
Her plump labia are stuck together like slices of deli meat in a sandwich, and the menstrual blood smeared on her inner thighs reminds me of tomato sauce decorating the bottom of a pasta bowl. My cock presses into my zipper. Pull the tampon out, she says. For once, I don't hesitate at being told what to do. I tug at the string until the drenched cotton plops onto the countertop. I move it to the side and take a mental note to save the tampon for later, all while I keep ogling her meat hole. Her pussy muscles visibly tighten. A gloop of gummy... Ugh, God. My stomach just went... A gloop of gummy liquid squishes out of her hole. A blood clot. My groin and face flush with heat. I rub my lips together. The blood clot is the size of a small sugar-coated candy. Oh. I bet it tastes like nectar, too.
Oh my God. She assures him this is fine. It's like he's eating a part of her, but in an ethical way. She grabs the clot and smushes it between her fingers and then rubs it on his face.
She says, Simba.
He starts to wonder why she hasn't offered her period blood to him before, since this relationship has now been going on for longer than a month, and he asks if she's regular, and she says no. This is her first period since they started seeing each other, but he's not buying it. He thinks she's lying. He's like, your period blood went somewhere else, and I know it.
Who'd you give it to?
The ultimate betrayal.
You gave a blood clot to someone else.
But she's like, go on, give it a taste. So he caves and he gets on his knees to start eating her out.
Her musky scent, sour and acidic and metallic with blood, fills my nostrils. A drop of her blood swims into my mouth and she tastes decadent. Like a bite of fatty steak covered in a red wine glaze, and that desire flames in my chest. My tongue swirls around her thick clit and I resist the urge to bite it until it bleeds too. Her hips gyrate closer to the edge of the counter. That feels good, she says. I unzip my pants and pull out my dick. My tongue penetrates her bloody gash. Ew! Bloody gash?
Yeah. What a choice of words.
Audrey Rush, the woman you are.
Oh my God.
He jerks himself off while he eats her out and is like, this is the best loophole ever. He tells her she tastes so good he could eat her on toast, and she's like, the toaster's right over there. So he toasts a piece of bread and grabs a steak knife. He puts the knife in her and scoops some of her blood out.
When I pull out the knife, a large clump of bloody lining clings to the edge of the blade, shining like a dark wine. I slather it on the toast. I chomp into the treat. The first bite hits my lips and tongue. Savory bread and her earthy flavor swim over my lap.
Sorry.
My eyes are watering.
I told you to get a trash can.
Savory bread and her earthy flavor swim over my taste buds. My body throbs with pleasure. Fuck, Mona, I say. You taste so fucking good. She rubs the top of my head, her fingers combing my short hair. Then be a good boy and eat me, love. My jaw flexes. A good boy. Like I'm her toy, her slave, her little bitch.
Oh my God, that was disgusting.
As he's snacking, he's like, this is good, but not as good as it could be. And he puts the knife back in her. Mona is giggling until she realizes what he's doing.
No, I don't want to.
The knife pierces the crust of her cervix, like cutting into a firm potato. Oh my God. And she screams, the cry raking through her and vibrating into me. I have no idea how deep I actually went, but liquid oozes out of her pussy and I salivate. It's
blood, red and fresh and vibrant against her pale thighs. My dick is like a fucking baton right now, ready to knock someone unconscious. And the fucked up part is that I want to hurt Mona like that. I want to choke her. I want to watch the will to live drain from her eyes. I lick my lips, my mouth filling with spit. I want to taste her blood, fresh blood, straight from the tap.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes to eat her out again, but then he realizes what he just did and freezes. But Mona's like, it's okay. It's only a little blood. But he runs out of the room. She chases after him and he can't believe he just did this. And most of all, he can't believe how much he liked it. He gets into his car and he speeds away.
I have to get away from her. I've eaten Mona's tampons on crackers before, and I just ate Mona's period blood on toast. The menstrual blood isn't what unnerves me. It's the fact that I liked stabbing her pussy.
Yeah.
That's where he crossed the line.
A self-aware king.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
To be fair, he's trying not to escalate, but she's pushing him.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
He speeds off to his favorite butcher shop, but is pissed to find that the dumpsters outside now have locks on them. And you remember in the beginning of the book where he was at the dumpster at that butcher shop and he pulled the heart out and fucked the heart?
Yes.
Yeah, so he went there and now there's a lock on the dumpster. He goes inside and while he's perusing the cuts of meat, he imagines taking Mona to a grocery store. Maybe she'll be missing a leg at this point, and they'll both chuckle about it in the parking lot after telling everyone it was due to some mystery illness. So he wants to consensually cut her leg off and eat it, and then he'll just wheel her around.
I wonder if Mona would be down for that.
She was like, take my toe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need toes. You do need your toes. You don't need all of them. Yeah. You need your big toe.
And he's like, maybe a year later, she'd come back with a missing arm, and they'd tell people it was a terrible accident. His fantasy keeps playing out until it gets to a point that Mona is bedridden, just a torso covered in random seasonings.
She's gonna eat her.
The natural progression of things.
Yeah.
When he looks around the butcher shop, he sees the woman that was recording him in the break room and the new guy from work that was talking to Jerry, all gross. And he's like, weird. What are they doing here? He orders a filet mignon and 2 pounds of pig's feet at the counter. But the butcher is like, you aren't welcome here anymore. We caught you jerking off behind the store. Get out or I'm calling the cops. And Kent is like, fuck you, and storms out and drives back home. But on the drive, he sees an imaginary Mona begging to be eaten in the passenger seat. But when imaginary Artie shows up, he crashes into a fence. Mona calls him, but he ignores it, and then he spots a dead rabbit on the side of the road. But I guess when he crashed, he like ran a rabbit over. So he picks it up and walks the rest of the way home. It's still warm, so he bites a chunk out of it, and then he fucks the hole he made with his teeth, picturing Mona the whole time.
Oh,
poor bunny. After he's done, he throws what's left of the rabbit into the offal pit and tells himself he refuses to unintentionally hurt Mona. He keeps ignoring her calls until she eventually shows up, telling him it states in the contract that he is to answer when she calls him. But he tells her this is for her own good. He's dangerous for her, but she says the knife thing is fine. There was barely even a scratch, and she'd done worse to herself with a dildo.
What kind of dildos are you using, girl?
Knives.
Knives.
Yeah, right? He tells her he can't do this. He won't eat her because he doesn't want to kill her. And she's like, I trust you. And besides, what if I wanted you to hurt me? He tells her he's been holding back with her and he really doesn't want to hurt her. And this has been escalating really quickly. She starts to cry, asking if he's leaving her. And he's like, you don't want me. You want my hunger. He tells her he's doing this for her safety and physically removes her from his house as she sobs. So she's like, eat me, please. And he's like, no, I don't want to.
He really is trying.
Yeah. He's trying really hard. And she's like, come on, eat me.
Do it.
The next day, he comes home from work and finds her SUV in the driveway. When he walks into his house, he sees the whole living room is covered in blood. And Mona is sitting on the floor, soaked head to toe with 3 slivers of fingertips recently sliced off.
Oh my God. She's crazy.
Uh-huh. So she's just covered in blood and she's like, here's my fingertips.
An offering for you, my king. Oh my God. Also, if I walked into my house and there's just blood all over my shit, I'd be like, oh, damn it.
His house has got to be gross though.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't even have power. Like everything's powered by a generator.
That he turns on and off when he leaves.
Yeah. His house is nasty.
Oh, that's weird as fuck.
She tells him she did it for him and tells him to eat the fingertips. He's rock hard and super tempted, but still is trying to talk himself out of it. But eventually he can't resist and she feeds them to him. They taste like pork and Mona.
His next shift at work, he gets fired for stealing. So he finally got caught stealing and fucking the meat. And they're like, you gotta go, guy. Sorry.
This is weird as fuck. You gotta leave.
Also, he's only like 30 years old.
Yeah.
I didn't expect him when I read that. He was only 30. I thought he was older for some reason. I was like, this motherfucker.
Yeah, this is middle-aged man behavior. He doesn't care that he got fired, though. He has Mona. He goes home to find Mona there with bandaged fingers. She wants to take pictures of him cleaning up the blood from the day before, and he's secretly annoyed that she isn't even offering to help him clean. But it's fine. It's fine. He'll do it. After he's done, she says she has a present for him, and she hands him a box. And in the box is her severed toe.
Oh my goodness. A present for you.
He crashes a kiss down onto her and tells himself that this is true love. As they make out, he tastes something unpleasant on her breath and tells her she isn't allowed to eat meat anymore. Things get hot and heavy, and he starts to eat her out and even thinks to himself that one day he'll use her intestines as sausage casings.
I'm speechless. I have no words.
I pull at the toe and lick the end. The fleshy fibers are wet and brittle, like a pinch of uncooked spaghetti noodles. I pop the whole thing in my mouth. It's softer than you'd expect, gamey and mild, without any crunch of bone. With my mouth full, I ask, the bone? I wanted to use it for the project. I grin. Such an artistic little slut. My dick slides inside of her as I chew her toe. Her pussy suffocates me, a boa constrictor murdering its prey, and I contemplate the possibilities.
So she said, here's my toe, but I kept the bone.
Boneless.
That's okay.
Boneless.
Boneless little nugget.
She starts to tell him he's such a big, scary monster, but he chokes her hard until she passes out. They fall into a routine during the next week, and Mona has even cut off another toe. He knows this isn't sustainable, but as they lay in bed together, he begs her to just let him have one more toe.
Please, cut off your toe.
She tells him that it's getting hard for her to walk. She's like, I'm losing lots of toes here. I'm down two. And he's like, what if we just eat people together? And she's like, I don't want to eat people. I'm not a cannibal. And now he's terrified that she's judging him. And he just wants to tell her he loves her and they'll figure out a way to make this work. But she's like, isn't what I'm doing good enough for you? I can't let you cut off my toes and I can't do it here. I have to do it at my house for my art project. Don't you get that?
Yeah, I mean, true. This is all for her project.
Yeah. And he's like, let me cut your toe off. And she's like, no, I only cut my toes off at my house. Boundaries.
I have to video it. Stop.
And she's like, if my art doesn't matter, then I won't matter. And if I don't matter, then you won't matter. And he's like, okay, well, can I at least watch you when you do it? And she's like, oh my God, can you just stop? Like, he's pushing her too hard. And she's like, I already gave you two toes and three fingertips.
She's like, back off. You're acting crazy. When all in all, this entire situation is fucking insane.
He promises to be good. And she says, okay, let's just wait for my body to heal. And then we'll talk. He heads to the store and picks up some groceries to make her a nice meal. And he makes a little pit stop to pick up a used wheelchair at an antique store. When he gets back, he gives it to her and tells her it's for her recovery process. And she loves it.
Sweet.
Yeah. He pushes her to her lecture in the wheelchair as everyone stares and Mona beams at all the attention. Because at this point, she has like a bandaged up foot, two bandaged up hands, and he's just pushing her in a wheelchair.
And she's just gonna like show everyone this?
Yeah, she's like stoked that people are like paying more attention to her.
That's crazy.
When they get to her office, he puts her on the desk, kissing all over her body, telling her all of his dirtiest fantasies about eating her slowly over time and keeping her bedridden so her flesh is nice and tender. She starts to look kind of scared and is like, let's wait to have sex, but he just shoves into her. There's a knock at the door and Mona's like, come in. And it's Artie.
As they're fucking?
Yeah. Like he's inside of her and she's like, come on in. He sees that Mona's clearly injured and goes off on Kent about fucking her while she's in this condition. But Kent is like, this is none of your business. But Mona's like, yeah, Kent, you should go. Art can take me home.
Mona? She getting scared of him?
She's acting like it. As he shuts the door, he can hear Artie arguing with her about how she's letting Kent take this too far and she's gonna get seriously hurt if she keeps it up. As he walks outside, he sees a random woman who blocks his path to leave, and she starts accusing him of raping her, and he looks around to see, like, 10 students filming this whole encounter. And he's like, lady, I don't even know you. And she's like, you chained me up to your bed and locked me in a dog cage and told me you were gonna kill me and eat me. And then he realizes it's one of the previous sex workers that he hired.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and in his head, it was completely consensual. Like, he explained to her everything that he wanted to do, and she was like, okay, and then he he did it, and she was like, oh, fuck. But once he realized that she wasn't having a good time anymore, he paid her double and let her leave. He told her what he had wanted, and she just didn't listen. And he's like, I should have just killed her.
I mean, at this point, yeah.
She tells him he doesn't remember her, but she'll never forget him. She's pissed, and he just wants to kill her right here, right now. He looks up to see Mona and Artie watching from her office window. He tells her he warned her what he was going to do, and she chose to stay, and he walks to his car. A couple of days pass, and Mona hasn't called him at all, so he decides to pop into one of her lectures to ask her to come over for dinner. And she says, how about that steakhouse that we went to? And he's realizing she doesn't want to come to his house because she doesn't trust him anymore. And he's like, don't be scared of me, I'm harmless. And she's like, okay, fine, we'll go to your place. She comes over that night dressed from head to toe like a nun, and she's annoyed when he cooks her tofu, and he's annoyed at her attire, so it's not going well. He's like, why are you dressed like that? And she's like, why the fuck are you serving me tofu?
You guys, the contract.
Yeah. And I think this is the part of the book that I was like, oh, this is turning in a direction that I don't like.
Oh, no.
But before this, I was like, all right, weirdos. Get it, weirdos. But after this, I'm like, ah,
scary. It's all scary.
While they're eating, he tells her he wants to cook two of her toes. She'll walk better if he evens her out on the other foot. And she's like, you're taking this too far. And he's like, it's just two toes, Mona.
I mean, she already gave him some, so like...
He's like fiending for it. He's like, please, please, more.
I need more toes. And she's like, I can't walk. My fingertips are gone. I did this for you, and now you want more. And he's like, you didn't do this for me. You did this for your art. And she's like, Artie is right. This isn't safe. And now Kent is pissed that she'd bring Artie up in his house. But she's like, we aren't exclusive. You can go find somebody else. He's scared of losing her. So he's like, okay, fine. You're right. Artie's right. We'll stick to dirty talk. Like, it'll just be strictly fantasies. I don't want your toes. We can just pretend.
I don't know about that. You're in too deep.
She's like, okay, thank God. Then she's like, what did your mom do to you that turned you into a sexual cannibal? Did you kill her? And he says, no, what happened to her was an accident, and he doesn't want to talk about it. She asks if an accident like that will ever happen to her, and he says, no, of course not. They eat in silence, and then Mona tries to leave, but he tells her he got her a present. It's a film camera he found in the house when he moved in. And she's like, thanks, and goes to leave, but he's like, please stay. She's not having it and still wants to go, but eventually relents when he starts to beg. And she's like, okay, fine, and heads to the kitchen and grabs olive oil and is like, let's use this. And he says, okay, sure. He wants to fulfill her fantasies first so she can let him fulfill his.
He leads Mona outside to the offal pit and she gets her camera set up. She undresses and begs for him to rub the olive oil all over her body like it's marinade. When he doesn't move, she pours it on herself and then steps to him and starts manipulating his hands to rub it into her skin. This snaps something in his brain because that's what everyone thinks he's doing, is pretending. Because she's like, just pretend I'm me, like just do it. And he hates when all the escorts and stuff were like, oh, just pretend, because he's like, I'm not pretending.
He says, I want to fucking eat you.
In a rage, he drags her up to the meat grinder and turns the machine on, dragging her head towards the blades. He unzips himself and slides right inside of her, noticing how turned on she is, even though she starts to scream.
I squeeze her neck and her cunt retaliates, her cream squishing out around me. Oh, so she's liking it.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but he thinks that she does.
Okay.
He chokes her until she passes out, and he doesn't stop until he finishes. So he fucks her unconscious body.
Oh, good God.
He pulls out, and when she comes to, she's appalled and tries to claim that he raped her. He counters her, though, telling her she is the one with rape fantasies and voiced those fantasies, and he simply played them out for her. She knows that this is true and cannot argue, but she tells him that he will pay for this one day, and she leaves his house. He's at her next lecture, intending to apologize, but she doesn't show up. Instead, Artie is filling in for the lecture, and this pisses Kent off. As Artie is doing his lecture, he's thrown back into a memory of his mom trying to leave him for her abusive boyfriend, and then remembers what he did. He kills his mom, puts her on the kitchen table, and watches her pretending that she's asleep. But a couple days pass, all the food in the house ran out, and he quit seeing his dead mom as his mom. He started seeing her as something to eat.
Oh my God.
When the police found found him, he got taken away and put through the system, and he blurred all of the memories and the lines of everything. And as he comes back to, he's like, oh yeah, that's why I like what I like.
Yeah. So he just ate it to survive, and then he realized, oh, I like it.
As the lecture ends, he's back in present day, and Artie successfully ignores him as he leaves the classroom. Later that evening, he approaches Mona's house with a couple other cars in the driveway. Artie opens the door, saying that she's not home and the project is done. He confirms that Mona is his wife, and Lexi and the other sex worker, Desire, are in there, but Kent needs to leave and actually go get some help.
And Desire's the one that confronted him and was like, you raped me. And he's like, I don't even know you. And now she's at Artie and Mona's house.
Oh, no.
And Lexi is the co-worker that was filming him.
Oh, shit.
It's been days since he's seen Mona, but it's her new big exhibit. It's titled Cannibalism. That's it. Just cannibalism. He arrives at the gallery and sees one of the walls plastered with photos of him that she's taken, but all of the eyes have black X's through them. There's more and more items showing him with X's over his eyes. He's smeared in blood and he's starting to get sick. There's themed snacks looking like fingertip slices, toes with red nail polish, like it's a whole production. He sees a photo of Mona with Desiree thanking her for being her inspiration, and that's when he finally sees Mona. She's unbandaged, no scars or marks on her fingertips, and she walks perfectly fine as she approaches him.
Oh my God.
The little snake is snake.
He puts the pieces together and asks if she really didn't cut herself for him. And she's like, it was just an experiment. And Artie's really good at his craft. So Artie does like paper mache.
Like special effects.
Yeah, like paper mache, like special effects stuff, movie horror stuff. So Artie made all of the fingertip slices, the toes.
Holy shit.
Kent tries to say that Mona played him, but she says it's all in the contract. Next time, actually read one.
Yeah.
He asks about the woman at his work, and she admits that it was Artie's idea. He wanted to record everything just in case Mona was actually in danger and they needed evidence for the police. She tells him he is seriously sick and probably should be locked up. He leaves and he goes home absolutely pissed off. She used everyone for the project and humiliated him on top of it. As he looks around the house, he thinks that he can't let Mona go. There is no other meat for him.
Also, like, the whole time they were together, she was super, super, like, headstrong and, like, kind of dominant in the relationship and almost sweet to him, too. But at the exhibit, she was, like, a cold-hearted bitch. And it was, like, a complete 180 to the person that he thought he knew and loved. So he was like, my heart.
But also, you haven't had Mona's meat. I don't know what the fuck you ate, but it wasn't her meat.
Just her blood clots.
Yeah, that's true.
He formulates a plan to get rid of Artie and how he can keep Mona. He writes a note in pig's blood with her name as a signature. He stalks Artie the following days to learn his routine and gather his supplies. When Artie approaches an old movie theater, he abducts him. When they get back to Kent's house, Artie tries to run, but Kent stabs him in both legs and then drags him to the meat grinder.
Oh my God.
He shoves Artie's head in there and he dies.
Yeah.
You're not coming back from that.
No.
No.
Once Kent realizes he is dead, he quickly dismembers him and shoves him back through the meat grinder before Kent loads him up to head to the chicken processing plant. He asks Jerry to let him in, so Jerry does so reluctantly, and Kent dumps all of Artie's remains into the giant furnace there. So ain't nobody ever finding Artie.
No, he's gone. I was gonna ask, why didn't he eat him? But I forgot he doesn't like men meat.
Once finished, they part ways, and now it's time for Mona. At her house, he breaks in and sneak attacks her, injecting her with something until she falls limp. He uses her computer to schedule her and Artie a very lengthy vacation and even packs their bags for them. He powers off her phone and loads everything he needs into the van. She's naked in her cage next to his bed, still sedated, and he finally does what he's always wanted to do. He slices a piece of her skin off and eats it while having a raging boner.
Oh, he does like it.
Do you know what piece it is?
I was gonna say, where did he slice it from?
Yes. He's only been talking about her meat hole for a while, and the lips look like
her
deli
labia.
Yep.
Just one?
Yeah, he only took like a thin strip.
A lip?
Okay.
Yeah. And he said, oh, delicious.
Oh my God. No.
He licks the blood from where he cut her until he sees that she's about to wake up, and then he locks the cage again. She's confused, but he lets her know she can finally be livestock. Just how they talked about.
He said, welcome to my human farm.
Yeah.
You're the first one.
He even tells her that he's going to fill her up with hormones to make her grow. He does. He opens the cage and injects her with hormones and even injects her with one into her breasts to like stimulate her having milk. So she grows milk so he can drink said milk.
Okay. And also he wants to like eat like a milky, fatty boob.
Yeah. Okay. After he's done, he massages her titty where he injected her. And he's like, you can try to leave if you want, but I don't think you'll get very far. And she attempts. She doesn't make it very far.
He's playing with his food.
He is.
Yeah.
He enjoys running after her and tackling her to the ground, slicing part of her breast until it's almost severed. She passes out as he rapes her and then takes a bite from her boob.
No.
Later, he has her cleaned and sutured and back in her cage. He leaves to go grab a cleaver and then lets her out again, telling her that he has a better spot to put her. As she crawls out of her cage, he chops her fucking leg off.
God.
He was just like, wow, that made a clean cut.
Yeah.
God damn.
He said, good job. Go me.
He was really proud of himself. Yeah.
He puts a veterinary tourniquet on her leg and then he fucks her, thinking about how he's going to prepare her limb. She's asleep for a full day after he cuts off her leg. He eats her leg while she's asleep.
Does he season it?
He does.
Like, does he cook it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Then he gives her free reign of the house with the walker since she can't run away.
She's not going anywhere.
I mean, at least he's letting her walk around, I guess. Yeah. Hop around.
He makes her drink a smoothie to keep her healthy, but she smacks it out of his hands. And the disrespect, he cuts off another limb.
He said, all right, give me your arm. Come here.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
He flings her on the bed after chopping her arm off, not caring about the mess. And then he uses her limb as a fleshlight.
Oh, my God.
Waste not, want not.
Oh, my God. No.
And then when he's done with the literal fleshlight, he fucks her as she fights him.
Oh, my God. I bet she regrets ever meeting this man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through the next couple days, she loses another leg. And he knows that his fun is coming to an end.
Yeah.
She tries to taunt him, saying that Artie's going to avenge her. But he shows her what's left of Artie. And he pulls Artie's scalp with the ponytail out from under his bed.
He said, look, a souvenir.
Yeah. He said, here's Artie. Here to save
you.
Oh, but
it gets better. It's attached to Artie's fucking head. His rotting head.
So he just brings out his whole head?
Yeah. He like lifts the ponytail up and then it's just like a...
Of course Artie would have a ponytail.
Now kiss.
He knows he was always going to kill Mona, even though he tried very hard to stop himself. She's now only a head and torso, and he prepares her to become a roast.
Oh my. A roast.
Yeah. Yeah. Once he's done oiling and seasoning her, he puts her in the pan and decides to have a little bit of fun before she goes in the oven.
Oh my God. I unzip my pants. My weighty cock flops out. I rub the oil and spices on my shaft. She scrunches her face, and the anticipation shudders through her torso. My dick slides inside of her. The spices add to the friction of her textured pussy.
He's seasoning the inside. No. She is a little roast.
She's just in a giant roast pan.
So horrible. At first I was like, how did she fit? But then do you guys know that person that's like on like TikTok? It's they literally have no limbs.
Oh yeah. Where they like in and then do their makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I could only picture it because I know what that person looks like. And I'm like, oh, I can see it.
Mona's described as very petite too. So I would assume without her arms and legs, she could fit into a large roast pan.
Oh yeah. A nice cookie sheet.
Yeah. Some herbs and spices on top.
Yeah, she'll fit.
He finishes with his special seasoning and then plops her in.
Oh my, is she alive?
Yeah.
Being in the oven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He thinks about how this experience was and how he will have to leave town, but it was 100% worth it. It's 1 year later and he's cooking someone over a pit as he looks at all his collected trophies. 4 heads total preserved, not counting the woman he's cooking now. Then he looks at his favorite trophy, his little morsel. She's literally like beef jerky with her skin flaking off.
Wait, he kept some of her?
No, he kept her whole torso and her head.
He didn't eat it?
No.
He preserved it.
He preserved it. He promised her that she would never go to waste, so now he fucks her whenever he wants and eats small flakes of her skin at a time. The end.
Oh.
He still fucks her dry pussy, and he says it's like fucking a pineapple. But like not the inside of a pineapple, like the outside of a pineapple.
Ah, yeah.
So, Riley.
Oh, no.
How many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
0.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry to the author, but like 0.5 to 1. It's just not my thing. It's not my thing.
That's what I was saying.
But like, oh my God. There were like parts of it that I was like, yeah, okay, cool book, whatever. My thing is, when authors that write books like this, yes, people can be so creative. You use your imagination.
Everybody's so creative.
Yeah, everybody is so creative. How do you fucking think of this stuff? Why are you thinking of this stuff?
My thing is, this book would have been enjoyable for me until the consent went out the window.
Yeah, I did not like that.
I just was not expecting the whole, like, I knew it was like the art project thing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But when like she didn't actually have missing pieces of her is when I was like,
crazy.
What?
I did not expect that.
Because I thought they were going to start killing people together so he could eat them.
That's what I thought. And I don't like, I mean, that's, this was the point of it, but it made you feel bad for him. Like I felt bad for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like rooting for him a little bit. And then at the end, you're like, oh my fucking God.
Why was I? Ugh. On Goodreads, I literally was like, fuck Mona. I don't trust this bitch. I hope they fucking kill Artie. Like I literally was like updating my progress. And then when he killed Artie, I was like, oh my fucking God.
You manifested that.
Yeah, you did.
You killed Artie, Jenna.
They played me like a damn fiddle, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think Kent is sexy?
No.
Hell no.
Yeah. Fuck no, he scared me.
Would you trade places with Mona?
Never. I would trade places with Artie in heaven over Mona.
Yeah, I'd rather die the way Artie did.
Yeah.
100%. Put me through a meat grinder head first.
Yeah.
Which is an insane thing to say.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All right. So next week, we're telling Riley all about Exodus by Kate Stewart. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Fuck. I don't even remember what Flock was about.
Remember, she was like, she moved to the town. She had the CEO dad. And then the two guys showed up and they were like, your dad is corrupt.
They're in a gang.
Our parents died in a fire. We have a gang.
And then she fucks them both on the dock.
Oh.
And then the Frenchman.
Yeah. And then at the end, he's like, I am the Frenchman.
Oui, oui.
Because they like leave her and she's like, where are you?
That was pretty good.
That was a good summary. Synopsis.
Thank you.
Who's the French?
We don't know yet.
No, no, no. We don't know.
She thought it was Dom.
Yeah. She thought Dom was the Frenchman, but it's not Dom. So maybe like that could be your prediction of the, do they get back together? Who's the Frenchman really gonna be?
Yeah. Because remember, she's like, she's laying titties out, blaring music into the forest. And then someone walks up and she's like, oh my God, you're the Frenchman. Book over.
So I think this book will be the sequel. So we find out who the Frenchman is.
Who do you think he is?
It's not Dom.
Nor
could be Sean.
No, someone she doesn't know.
Oh, possibly a family member?
Okay.
Sorry, guys. This one's a sucky one. My memory. Horseshit, apparently.
Yeah, go listen to the Flock episode.
I am gonna go listen to the Flock episode. I cannot recall a damn thing.
Yeah.
We read a lot of books. I don't. You guys do. I listen to a lot of them.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.